broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our broadcast as usual this evening. We are here with you each and every Monday through Friday. If you're in the, if either you're in the L.A. area or you are online with us here for our video casts, you can listen to our Saturday night show as well, which originates here locally for our local affiliate here in Los Angeles. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and our website is philhendryshow.com. Those of you who are watching the show on Phil TV and HD, then you can obviously see what's up there. And we're broadcasting the show, as usual, in our full, gorgeous, high definition. Although camera two here has that fuzzy stuff, man. I don't know what that is, Robert.
I don't know. I got Elaine coming over to look at it.
Elaine's coming over. Okay, good. Joining us this hour is Vernon Dozier from the Board of Administration at Belmar Academy. We're also going to have with us on the line Father James McQuarters as we talk about this school year coming up. And not only the school year that's coming up, but we're also talking a little bit about athletics, and specifically football. And Coach Dozier is the head football coach at Belmar Academy. So he's a man that is obviously very, very interested in how those things are going. And Coach, I'm going to bring you on. It's nice to have you with us this evening. And I understand you're at a parent-teacher. Is it a mixer or what is it?
It's not a mixer, Phil. It's more a meet and greet for the new parents of our freshman class coming in. We have four grades here at Belmar Academy. Most Catholic high schools do, and we have our freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. And this is a mixer, not a mixer, but it's a meet and greet. When you say mixer, I think of
well, there's no cocktails being served.
No, what we have are just some soft drinks and some coffee, and we're saying hello and meeting all these parents.
All right, and you are in the middle of Hell Week, and describe for us, as a football coach, what Hell Week is.
All right. Hell Week is for our players on our junior varsity and varsity teams, and it is essentially a week in which we work them out two times a day. We go through full offensive and defensive drills with all of the special teams involved. We have our individual units break out and go through their drills, meaning our quarterbacks, running backs, our receivers, our offensive line, our defensive line, and so forth. We have these drills twice a day, and we do them in full pads. That means in full gear. And it's hot. It generally is in the summertime. And this is why it's called Hell Week, and it wasn't something that I invented. But
No, the Hell Week has been around for as long as there's been high school football and college football, for that matter. It's a tradition, but I interrupted you. So
it's that. It's also seeing how mentally tough they are, and that can happen in a lot of different ways. You can test a young man his stamina just by, you know, as I mentioned to you once before. You know, we will have on the sideline perhaps a big bucket of Gatorade and iced water and iced down soft drinks. Myself, one of the coaches, will be drinking out of a Gatorade bottle and looking at them and, you know, trying to test them mentally. But the biggest part of Hell Week, Phil, is the mental part, and that's where we try to really either break down a player or we try to see, is he tough enough to take it? And during the entire time that we are working out during Hell Week, during the entire time that we are going through these drills, during the entire week, I will be talking to the players individually, or I will talk to them in units, and I will be challenging them mentally.
Give me an example of what you do when you say challenging them mentally. What do you mean?
Well, it's something very simple. What I do, for every coach it's different, but for me, I will walk up to a group of, you know, JVs who are, you know, our running backs, or maybe they're our receivers, and I'll say, you know, gentlemen, this is Hell Week, and this is where you either make a team or you don't make the team. I said, this is the time where either you are a part of a winning football tradition that goes back some 25 to 30 years, or you go home to your mama, you know, or you go home to your daddy. So what's it going to be? And I will continue this. You know, I'll go to the quarterbacks. This is a part of a – we've had some great quarterbacks come through here. Jesus Williams was our starting quarterback. He went on, played pro football in Canada, played for 10 years in Canada. We've had guys go to the NFL, tight ends. Juan Francis was another one that went to the New England Patriots. I can name right off the top of my head a half dozen players that went on to professional football careers. So I will tell my players that, and I'll say, this is a serious football program. Now, either you get with it or you go home to your mama. You know, you go home. And
all right. Now, have you gotten into it with some parents?
I wouldn't say I've gotten into it, but
You've gotten calls from parents who are not, they don't like the they don't like the rough treatment, do they?
Well, they think that the kids are going to be just somehow damaged. They're not going to be damaged, Phil. We've had enough examples of young people. We've had enough examples of football players that have died. And
I was going to say, I mean, professional players.
At all levels, we've had enough examples of players that have died during during the summer heat. To certainly keep our eye on these kids, make sure that they're hydrated. But you've got to test them too. You've got to make sure that physically they're in shape, and you got to make sure that mentally they're in shape. And at the height of the heat, at the height of their thirst, at the height of their fatigue, you walk over to them and you say, "Do you want to go home to your mama? Huh? You want to go home to mommy? How many of you guys want to go home to mommy?" And I'll say it just like that. I will get them all together at the end of the first day. After we've done our second set of practices, and I'll say, how many of you want to go home to your mama? Is there anybody here that wants to go home to mommy? Is there anybody that wants to go home? And
all right, I understand what you're saying. Now, I've got a couple of. I told you I was going to bring up a couple of the examples here that were given to me by Headmaster Schramm.
Yes, sir.
Okay, he said that he got calls from one mother who said that you told one of the players, "Do you want to go home and blank blank your mother's breast?"
Yes, sir. I said that. Yes.
You okay? She found that a little offensive.
Well, no, it's not a look, Phil. What's offensive? I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about.
Well, did you say? Did you? Well, all right. What did you say?
Let me tell you what I said, okay? Before you've got one of these parents that's going to make something up and try to run me out of town on a rail, which is what they've been trying to do for 30 years.
And they're trying to run you out of town, Rel, even though you've had a winning football program every single year.
We have had winning teams every single year of my 26 years as a head coach, except for 2 years. And those are the 2 years that I was put on suspension for the very things that you and I are talking about. When I was suspended for those 2 years, our football program went to hell in a handcart. Okay? So I'm not talking about something that I don't know anything about. And I said to this young man, who is a part of our quarterback squad, a kid by the name of Dallas Armstrong, and I said, "Young man, do you want to go home and get in your mama's lap and just go ahead and get some mother's milk going? Just go ahead and, you know," I made the noises like. And
well, that's what she was offended by, because her son went home and told her. And
that was something else. The fact that this kid went home and basically squealed. Not squeal, but...
Don't you think the kids are going to tell their parents? You and I have had this discussion before. You expect a level of a loyalty from students at the expense of their parents, don't you?
No, I don't. No, I don't think it's at the expense of their parents. I expect loyalty. I expect loyalty from my football players. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, if you are having these two-a-days, and you're yeah, look. The parents are going to be concerned if the kids are not safe in terms of their physical well-being, and I know that you're very mindful of that. It's very hot. They do need water and so forth, and they need to rest and so on. When you get into these mind things that you're talking about, where you're testing the mental toughness of a kid, and it's verbal, this is what some of these parents are concerned with.
Well, Phil, forgive me, but I've been in the middle of it. You're just hearing about this secondhand from Schramm, who is our headmaster, and he's a good man, but he doesn't know anything about football. And I respect him more than any man I think I've ever worked with. He's a great educator, but I've told him, and I think he understands. I've told him that, you know, football, this is my area, and I need for him to keep as far away from it as he can humanly get. Because if I've got a headmaster, if I got a principal hanging around the football practice, and all of a sudden he's going to start telling me, see, it doesn't work that way, so. When I found out about this mother who called up and said she didn't like me making sucking noises. And
so that's what you did?
Yes, sir.
So you said to this boy, "Do you want to go home to your mama?"
I said, "Do you want to go home to mama and you want to sit on her lap and go ahead and take, you know, take mama's milk and just go, I made a noise like that. And the kid, the other kids laughed. But this kid looked like he was going to bawl, and I knew right there I had to get rid of him. I knew right there I had a weak link in the chain.
And so you're humiliating a kid.
No, sir, I'm not humiliating.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. You know, you're making fun of him, saying you want to go home to mama, and you're making this sucking noise. And
look, the kid had already started. He said something to me that no one ever says to me. He said something to me that no one ever says to me. And he said, hey, coach, if we come in second, do we still make the playoffs? And I said to him, now you get away from me. You get.
Well, what was wrong with the question?
What was wrong with the question is that the man came up to me.
A kid.
All right, the kid came up to me. Okay, the kid. The kid came up to me and said, hey, coach, if we come in second, I said, right there, get as far away from me as you could get. Get as far away from me as Principal Schramm got. Just go, get away. And he hung around, and he hung around. So that's when I said, hey, you see Armstrong here? He wants to go home, and he wants to get some mama. And I made noises, yeah.
All because the kid asked you about finishing second? Let me ask you, by the way, do you make the playoffs if you finish second?
Yes, we do, but I don't allow anybody on my team, and I really don't, would rather you not say anything, because my mind, I have geared toward one thing, first place. And the fact that you're saying it, Phil, I think is sadistic, and I think you know that I don't accept that.
No, but I wanted to know what the kid's, if the kid is asking a question.
If the kid is saying a question, you know, you have to quit being so nervous. It's usually, you say, they ask a question, they don't say a question.
I know that. I'm saying to you, if the kid's asking a question, is it not a legitimate question?
Not on my football team. No one asks me about finishing second, Mr. Henry. And if these kids want to go home to mama, because that's what I said to them. And the other kids laugh. They think that Coach Dozier is funny. When I single out one or two of these weak sisters, and I said, you there, little girl, do you want to go home to your mama? Hmm? Yeah, you're right. It humiliates them. You're right. It offends. But guess what? Guess what else it does? It weeds out the weak sisters. It weeds out the weak link. I cannot afford to have a weak link. I'm forging a chain, and that chain is going to carry me right on through to divisional finals come December.
Okay, Coach Vernon Dozier with us on the football program, the two-a-days, and just how much he lets adults and parents get involved in this. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The other thing, testing the mental toughness of the players by essentially mocking them, calling them little girls. How much of that do we need in a modern educational setting? And football practice at the high school level, folks, is education. It's not just football. It's a part of their education. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Mommy?
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. We're also at Twitter, at twitter.com/realphilhenry. We got about 9 million Twitter accounts, and that way we stay on top of and underneath everybody. Now, Vernon Dozier joining us from Belmar Academy tonight is a meet and greet for the families of freshmen that are incoming. You have a Frosh and B team?
We have a Frosh soft team, Phil.
What? I don't know why I call it B team. That's
an old term. We don't use that too much anymore. We have a Frosh team, Frosh soft team that Coach Isaacson and two or three of the other coaches, Coach Statton, is involved with them, and then we have our JV, but primarily I coach the varsity And then we, our JVs are coached by Coach Sutherland and some of the other coaches from my staff. But what we do is during Hell Week, we have all the squads together except for the Frost Soft. We don't put freshmen and sophomores through Hell Week. Not the same kind of Hell Week.
All right. When you talk about the intensive Hell Week, and you've had run-ins with parents, what are the parents saying?
Well, in the case of this one woman, she wanted me talking about going home. And yeah, I told this kid, Armstrong, I said, go home to your mama. You know, go home to mommy. Go home to daddy. Go on home. You know, run on home. And she said I was being cruel. I'm going to bring... you wanted me to talk to Father McQuarters, right?
Yeah, Father McQuarters is also sort of the chaplain for the team.
Father McQuarters is a diocesan priest here at Belmar. Father? Father? Bill Henry on the...
Father McQuarters?
Yes, Phil.
I wanted to talk with you about your work with the varsity team there.
Absolutely.
Have you encountered any of these parents that are upset with the kind of the hardcore way that Coach Dozier does things?
Well, I know that I'm very close to the Armstrong family, and this young boy, Dallas, I was part of the freshman team last year, and Coach Dozier had said to him that we wanted a mindset, you know, for the football team.
Right, let me in. This is what I said to him, that don't say second place.
And he said, don't talk to me about second place. And so he said to this young man, perhaps you'd be more comfortable if you went home and you spent time with your mama. Or words to that effect, I'm not exactly sure what it was. But and this boy went home and talked to his mother. And then I got this call from this Mrs. Armstrong, Sally Armstrong. And we spoke about this, and I talked to her about her son.
Well, what did you say?
I said to her that her boy was on a football team, and that football is a very important in the Catholic faith. I know that you were raised Catholic, Phil, and Coach Dozier was not, but coaches our team and understands the tradition in the Catholic high school and Catholic and college football is very important in the Catholic faith. And for any child to be involved in the Catholic football program, he simply must devote himself 1,000% to the Catholic football program and to faith in the Virgin Mary and to faith in Jesus Christ. Because football is a part of the faith.
What is it about football that makes it...
It is a part of our faith, not a part of the religious liturgy, but is it a part of reminding us that God can help us in even the most rigorous of times. And so, when you go to football 2 days, as this young boy did, and you say, Coach, what if we finish second? It's a blasphemy. It's a blasphemy.
Why is that a blasphemy?
It's a blasphemy. You don't say, do I want to finish second? And you don't say that and then complain if the coach told you to go home and sit down and get a drink of milk from your mama. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand you, Father, but why is it a blasphemy?
Why is it a blasphemy?
He's asking, why is it a blasphemy to say second place?
Football, as you know, going back to the early days of Notre Dame, going back to the days of Boston College, Georgetown, these are all great schools, Catholic schools, that to celebrate the football program.
I understand that. But why is football, I've never understood, even though I was raised Catholic, I've never really understood why football is such an important part of the Catholic education.
Because it teaches these young people that if you're Catholic, you don't take anything from nobody. You see?
I try to tell.
You don't take anything from nobody. And I'm a Catholic. I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, really? Well, ha-ha. Well, watch this. Boom, 80-yard pass, just scored on you. You lose, sucker. You see what I mean?
That's why we say, why don't you just go on home to your mama, you know?
The Catholic faith. I'm a Catholic, really? Well, I don't like Catholics. You don't? Maybe you won't like this one either. 60-yard touchdown run. Oh, I guess you lose. See? See what I mean?
I understand. All right, we're going to be coming back here.
But there are more religious ways. and more religious things I want to get into.
All right, hold on. Father James McQuarters is with us. Our number 877-876 Phil and Vernon Dozier. I was going to say Father Vernon Dozier. I better not. And Vernon Dozier, head football coach at Belmar Academy. As we talk about the two-a-days, football training in summertime, the mental harassment that a lot of these kids are taking from the coaches, and the football culture in a Catholic high school. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com, and just all kinds of places. Welcome back to the program. We're talking with Father James McQuarters from Belmar Academy, Vernon Dozier. We're talking about the the football season that's coming up and the training that goes into this football season and the two-a-days and this mental toughness that you like to talk about, Coach Dozier, where you're asking a kid, does he want to go home to his mama,
Phil, I'm not trying to, it's not my intention to humiliate, and I think this is something that the parents especially don't understand. I'm trying to get a kid to loosen up the apron strings. I cannot afford to have these kids coming into our camp, into our football training program in the summertime. I cannot afford it. I just can't afford to have them come in and they're still sucking on their mama. If you pardon me for saying that, they still got their mama. Their mama, they want to have mama. Father McQuarters,
What Coach Dozier is saying, Phil, is we're trying to make men out of these young men. We're trying to make them men and not to keep them as boys, you see. And we've had so many young men fail in life because they don't have the strength to tackle life's challenges like a man.
Well, there's no question that we definitely want everyone to reach their potential,
Well, right there is what we're talking about, Phil, to reach your potential. But I can't get a kid to reach his potential if he's going home to his mama and he's squealing, he's squealing on me. Coach Dozier did this. Coach Dozier did that. And that's why we have, Father McQuarters, you tell him about being there.
Phil, I'm the spiritual chaplain of the school, of the football team as well. And before the game, we'll have them hit a knee. And when we say hit a knee,
That means when they say hit a knee.
They know what it means. What it means is we're going to pray.
Yes.
And I say, let's hit a knee.
Right.
And I say, God, dear God, please, Father, keep these young men safe. And don't let any harm befall them. As they go into the football game and they play in the football game that you have given us the freedom, Father, to play. And the boys will go onto the field and run and throw and catch the ball and run. Everything that you do in a football game.
Can I interrupt something?
No, you may not interrupt. You may not.
He does this all the time, though, and I wanted to say.
Who's he?
You.
Well, then say Father McQuarters. Don't say he.
I understand, but can I say, Phil, he does this all the time, goes on and on and on and on, and I've told him, one of the problems we have with the parents is the parents will say, we're here to pick our sons up after the game. They're waiting at the locker room door to get their kid, and he's going through a prayer.
I'm not going through a prayer. I'm praying to God and to the Virgin Mary and thanking her for a win, but I'm talking about the prayer before the game. There's not a difference. G.D. your hide.
G.D. my hide?
All right. Let me just hear him, and we can hear from you in a moment, Coach.
Yeah, sure. Wow. You just damned my hide.
Yes, I did. You understand? And I say, Phil, this is the prayer before the game, not after the game. This is the one before the game.
You're going on forever. You're never going to get a kickoff.
This is the one before the game.
I understand that.
I say, dear Father, please allow these young men to go out and dance and play and sing and frolic.
This is what I resent so very violently.
What would you...
What do you resent?
He's talking about football like we're frolicking and dancing.
I'm saying a prayer that these are young men who are out in the flower of their youth, enjoying the sunshine.
Most of the games are at night.
And playing, and, you know, I don't give a damn if they're at night. And I'll say, Father, please protect us from injury. And if there's going to be a boy, in your wisdom, Father, the boy must be paralyzed. Please let it be a member of the other team, not the boys on our team.
You don't pray for that, do you?
That was a very controversial prayer, but they went ahead and they greenlit it.
Yeah, we greenlit it at the administration. And I'll tell you why, Phil. God is going to do what God's going to do. I don't know what God's got in mind. You don't know what God's got in mind. You know.
There's no telling what God's going to do.
So he's going to do what he's going to do. God plays his games. We play ours, you know. And so we had Father McQuarters, and I'd seen Patton. And in the movie, George Patton has the Padre write a prayer so that the weather clears and they can attack the Germans. And I thought I would have Father McQuarters write a prayer so that if somebody's going to get paralyzed from the neck down, it's not one of our guys.
So you had him write a prayer for that? That's the most ghoulish prayer I've ever heard.
What do you mean, ghoulish?
What's that mean?
What it means is, if you're going to have someone paralyzed, please make it somebody on the other team. I got to tell you something. Why even mention it? Why not just say, God, you know, protect everybody that is playing tonight?
I just got done telling you. I'm not going to tell God. Are you telling God what to do?
Let me handle this, honey.
Nobody's...
Let me handle it. If you don't mind, I can handle it because I'm a priest. I'm a priest. You're a coach.
I understand that, Father. But
I'm a priest. You're a coach. You understand?
Okay, Father McQuarters.
Hold on for a minute. Do you understand the difference?
I understand the difference.
All right, how many times am I going to go through it?
Father McQuarters.
Yes, Phil.
I don't allow that kind of yelling anywhere in my life, least of all on my show.
I apologize, but I've been through this time and again with this meathead.
I didn't...
Yes, you did know. Don't say you didn't know, you did. I'm a priest, you're a coach. I'm a priest, you're a coach. Know the difference?
Yes, sir, I do.
Good! And this is a part of what I know, Phil, and I will tell you this. God is going to do what he wants to do. You can't stop him, neither can I.
I understand that, but can we not intercede? Can we not, in the words of... Actually, I heard Jim Morrison say this. Petition the Lord in prayer?
How dare you bring up that song? How dare...
I'm sorry, Father. It was the only time I ever heard that, and I thought it was actually a good thing, even though Morrison was mocking it.
That man blasphemed. Jim Morrison is an apostate. He's a jack Catholic. Jim Morrison never belonged in the Catholic faith. And as an apostate and a heretic, he mocked our Lord and the process of prayer in that song.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Never mind. All right, so prayer...
I'm the priest, you're the coach. That's all you need to know. You don't have to butt in and say anything. And I said to them, I hope you don't get hurt, but if anyone is to suffer paralysis of the kind that Christopher Reeve suffered, please let it be a member of the opposing squad. And then I went back to the rectory. I had dinner, and I went to sleep. Now, that's all I did.
That night, the kid got paralyzed on the other team.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
But that wasn't me. That was God.
That was God. I got to tell you something. Did the parents of... So another kid got paralyzed on the other team.
Are you going to make a big deal out of that?
Yeah, I'm going to make a big deal out of it from this standpoint, Father. It's the most ghoulish prayer I've ever heard. Now we find out that a kid gets paralyzed. I'm not going to say that your prayer caused it, but I will say that the mindset that it takes for a prayer like that is not the kind of mindset that's going to deal with the actuality of something that horrible happening. How are you going to help the kids get through it?
The other team wasn't our kids.
It doesn't make any difference if it was the other team. The kids on your team are going to hear about it. They saw it happen, didn't they?
But he's got a point.
Don't turn this into a comedy routine. You understand?
I'm not turning anything into a comedy, but the point that I made to this guy was that I'm the priest. I did the prayer. The best prayer that I knew how to do.
Look at him. You want to go home to mama now?
Shut up!
See, this is what I'm talking about. You know, I ask for tough people to help me with my football program, and they send me this priest. You want to go home to mama?
Shut up!
You know the other problem with him is he's drunk. Are you a drunk? Are you a drunk?
I want to have a drink.
Yeah, he wants to have a drink.
Okay, I'm hanging up now.
No. Don't pass out on me yet. No. That's a line from Dirty Harry. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
All right, now listen. You hear that priest, that drunk? That's the kind of sissy they send me. That's the kind of sissy they send me.
All right, I've heard the two of you guys going through all manner of emotional breakdown. I don't want to hear it anymore. Do you understand?
Hold on.
I want to get a drink.
Now, Phil, the next time you invite me on your program, be man enough to deal with the world that I live in, okay? Live in it, son. Live in it. Be man enough to deal.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I apologize for what you just were put through. I apologize to my staff. I apologize, frankly, to myself. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
One drink? Huh? One drinking?
Yeah.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Next hour is our News and Information Hour, and I can't tell you the origin of the mental illness that we heard there between Father McCorders and Vernon Dozier. It sounds as if there is some kind of alcoholism at work. There is a sadomasochistic relationship going on between Vernon Dozier and Father McCorders. At one point, I heard the father begging for a drink, and I heard Dozier mocking him almost as if I was watching The Days of Wine and Roses. I apologize, but there really isn't much we can do. This is live radio. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let me get, first of all, let me turn off the hip-hop music that you left on, bud.
I didn't do it.
Yes, you did. So that I can use another module here on our network. On the line with us from Je T'aime Lingerie is a longtime contributor to our program, and we're very grateful to have him with us, Vernie. Rudy, how you doing?
You're good, Phil. This is the first time I've ever been called Vernie, but I'm doing very well, and I appreciate very much you to let me on your program.
Now, the reason why I wanted to get you on the show is because you talked about going with some kind of a dating service, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, don't tell me the name of it. I don't really want to know. I do want to know how effective it was, and not because I'm interested for myself, but because we've heard more and more and more and more that a lot of these dating services are under suspicion for, you know, not qualifying people, vetting people.
No, stories have been circulating for the longest time. The safety of these dating services, as you're saying.
You know, women are at risk, and there was one woman, I think, was sexually assaulted, and she took the this dating service to court.
Yes, there's any number of risks that can be a risk that can be taken when you are availing yourself of these dating services. I don't use them myself. I'm fortunate as a single man. I do a lot of traveling, as you know, back and forth from the United States to Argentina, which is where my business originated.
Now, you were in the import-export business, right?
Excuse me?
You were in the import-export?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did import-export business for 15 years from Buenos Aires to Los Angeles and to San Francisco, New York. And then I settled a part-time business in Los Angeles. Not part-time, a full-time business in Los Angeles with my partner, which is a Je T'aime Lingerie.
And, but where you're a single man. Were you ever married?
I was married early in my life, but preferred the single life.
And, all right, so where do you meet women?
Well, I meet them everywhere. I would meet them in business. I meet them in my most of the time meet them in travel. Meet them in my home country. I meet them here in the United States. My home is in Argentina. I have a home in Los Angeles. And I have a home in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, which is part of another store that we want to open for the tourists there. And
so you meet women just socially and through business because of, I imagine, Rudy, and I'm going to pay you a compliment, that you are that you're engaging in that. You know what I mean? You're an outgoing guy.
I don't think I'm that gregarious, you know, but I suppose.
You know, there's some guys that are very shy. Some women are very shy. And how do they meet people? Where do they go? I imagine this is very much a challenge. But for you, so that when you went ahead and you used this dating service at our request, it's not like you need it.
No, I don't. But I thought it was interesting. I met a young lady through the dating service.
What was her name? Just give us her first name.
Her first name was Faith.
Faith?
Yes.
Okay. And you met her, and the two of you sort of hooked up based upon what?
Based upon the profile information that we filled out. I told in my profile, I told her, told any prospective woman, I said, well, my name is Rudy, and I'm a businessman, I'm a salesman, and a business owner, and I told the truth, you know, I have two or three homes and this and that, and so I suppose a man like me.
Do you put your picture there?
Yes, you put your picture. And
what were you, if you don't mind me asking, Rudy, what were you wearing?
I was wearing I wear mostly what I call a flow. I wear shirts that are called my club shirt or a flow chart shirt. Not a flow chart, it's called a low altitude shirt.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you have a different kind of shirt with a bigger collar or a small collar. The big collar, the big wide collar, I call a high altitude. Because you want to fly, you know, la-la-la-la-la, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, all right, so, enough of that, but I wanted to ask you, so when you met the woman, based upon everything that you guys saw in each other, was she attractive? Can you tell me about her?
Yeah, she was an attractive woman. She was a woman in her early 30s. I don't want to tell you too much. I said, I'm Rudy, and I took her to a nice dinner at the Argentinian restaurant that I know in Los Angeles, in the valley, you know, in Woodland Hills. So, and then I told her, in my country, Argentina, we have a tradition which we express ourselves to a woman to tell her that she is lovely, that she is lovely in the sense that she is lovely like a sunrise, you know. She is lovely like a beautiful tree or a flock of birds that fly across the morning sky. This is the kind of beauty that we mean. And then I told her, and we expressed that in a custom in which the man, making almost like a bird, like a mating sound, we say, la, 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 you know. And
okay, so this is this, you call this, what is this?
What did you just say?
I'm sorry, what do you call that la-la-la?
Well, you know, you have to have some respect. It's not la-la-la, it's la-la-ha-la. You see what I mean?
Okay. What do you call that?
It's called, there's no name. There's nothing in English that I can, there's no words that describe it. But in Spanish, it basically means a greeting. That's what it's a greeting, but it's more than a greeting. It's to say to the woman, la 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 la. You are like a cloudburst. You are like fireworks. You are like, you're not, it's not sexual, you see. But it also, in the sexuality informs it, you see. It informs it.
All right, so when did you say this to this woman?
At the end of dinner, I looked at her. I took her hand in mine. I looked at her over the candlelight. And I said, la la la.
Okay, and what did she say?
Well, that's when I found out that, and you don't believe in it in your country because you think that you're so educated in America. Not you, Phil, but I've been around enough Americans to know that the Americans no longer believe in what we call any man, any real man knows, is a woman to be frigid. You see what I mean by this?
Yeah, well, okay. You're right. We don't really believe in that in our country anymore.
You don't. Why?
Well, we've found that that's most likely the result. What you call frigid is most likely the result of just a very unfulfilling sexual relationship. And there's no such thing as a woman that cannot enjoy sex, okay? Like, there's probably no such thing as a guy, unless there's some physical injury or abnormality that I can't right now I don't want to get into. But
what do you mean by that? Because you say there's no such thing.
Right.
And yet I said to this woman, la 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 la, that unlocks any frigid...
Well, what happened?
What happened was I gave her the greeting, and as you know, Phil, there are different greetings. There's one for, you are lovely like the sunrise, la 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 la. There's one which basically goes even deeper and says, I want you to mother my children tonight. And that is, you know... And
okay, I don't see how any woman finds that attractive.
Can I finish, please, before you go off on what is predictably your... You always launch into this. Can I finish?
Yes.
So, you do la 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 la, then you go boo, and then then it's not just blue, it's blah blah blah. And
it's blah 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 means what?
That means I want you to have my baby. Then there's a third one I can't remember. So... but in any event, oh, God.
Yeah, we've run out of time.
Well, can I mail in the rest of my interview?
Phil Hendry.
Because I've got a few more things to say.